Do you have a list of DIY projects you'd like to complete, but you're not quite sure how to get started? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to troubleshoot your home repair challenges and answer your questions are do-it-yourself darling instructor Danny Fraley, Covington Academy of Heritage Trades instructor and contractor Peter Grady, and Sustainergy Director of Sales and Marketing Lewis Connell. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're here to answer your questions, so call 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. And our producer told me we've already got emails coming in, so I expect to have lots of good questions. Let's start with this, though. It's a tough housing market. Mortgage rates are high. Many people are staying where they are in their homes. Does that mean more people are making home improvements? Are you seeing more of that, Peter?
Yes. One of the main things I'd see are people deciding to stay in homes and then upgrading mechanicals, upgrading flooring, and basically taking care of things that they neglected for a long time.
Yeah, they thought somebody else would take care of it when they
exactly.
sold the place. Yeah, yeah. Then, of course, the popularity of doing all this work is increasing, but not everybody has the cash to pay a contractor. Danny, are more people trying to do that kind of stuff themselves?
Absolutely. We teach beginner-level home workshops at Do It Yourself Darlin', and pretty much all of our classes are sold out with a wait list, and that's in many different areas, and you know, plumbing, electrical, power tools. Everybody's really hungry to learn and make some improvements at home that aren't rocket science.
Yeah, good. Rocket science is way above my head, so that's great. We got an email from Kai. Kai writes, mole has appeared in the caulk at the floor seam of my tiled shower. Wife thinks we should use a professional to redo. I think I can do this myself. Thoughts, tips? I always get worried when people bring the wife into this. I feel like this is a fight on the radio, but does anybody have tips? Can Kai handle this on their own? Do you want to take that, Danny? So I know it's dangerous.
Let me get this straight. A mouse?
Mold.
Mold.
It's mold in the caulk. That's okay.
I heard mouse.
It could have been anything. Yeah. No, a mouse, you can pretty much take care of yourself, usually, if it's just one. Mold has appeared in the caulk at the floor seam of the tiled shower.
Well, I think mold's actually going to be easier to deal with than a rodent.
Okay.
You know where it is, and it's easy to remove. So go ahead and get a caulk remover tool. They're just a couple bucks at Home Depot. Anytime you see mold, I recommend to remove pretty much all of it. That way you know you're starting fresh, clean the area with alcohol, et cetera, and you're good to apply new caulk. If it's in a wet location, make sure you're using the appropriate product. And the labels will tell you if it's good for a bathroom, if it's just good to be painted over, et cetera. So.
Okay. Not all caulk is created equal. You
yes.
have to know what you need to caulk.
They'll tell you at the store on the label. Don't worry.
Okay. That's good. Well, home improvement shows on HGTV have exploded, so have DIY videos on YouTube. Do you have any thoughts, Lewis, about how you can sort through all the how-to advice and find really credible information when you're trying to do some of this yourself?
Yeah, actually, we were just outside the studio talking with the three of us about this exact thing. There's a lot of good information online available for free that you can learn on YouTube, Google, all that, but you do have to be careful what you're looking at. You can easily find yourself reading something from maybe an installer or a manufacturer of a certain product or something like that. So obviously they want to sell their product, but you're going to get kind of a bias there. So you do want to use a trusted resource. I mean, specifically in my industry, energy savings, I would recommend anything from Department of Energy or Energy Star, but there's also some non-government affiliates like Green Building Advisor, BPI. These are all good places to go. Matt Reisinger on YouTube is actually really good for this stuff too. So yeah, lots you can learn.
Yeah. Peter, are there sources that you recommend to people or things you recommend they avoid when it comes to trying to find free advice online?
Well, since most of us don't know most things.
Yeah, I know that's true for me.
Right. I think to be very skeptical is one of the best things a person can do. And a lot of the vetting is through what's their reputation, what processes, what methods, and what sources they have, and, you know, what are the outcomes. So I think the vetting process is important.
Yeah. Skepticism is always good. My mom used to say, if your mother says she loves you, check it out. So, Danny, you mentioned your Do-It-Yourself Darling workshops offer training at any level. What are some of the courses people can find?
So we offer monthly rotating classes. We always have plumbing 101, electrical 101. We have a couple power tool skills workshops as well as homes 101, just gives people the knowledge to talk with contractors and real estate agents and stuff like that when you're buying or selling. We've got a whole slew of things, and we're also a nonprofit, a community development corporation, so we do offer a sliding scale so that make our classes open to everybody.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the ups and downs of DIY and taking your questions about the projects you'd like to do yourself. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Before we even started this conversation, we got a call from an electrician who wanted to provide some tips and really about discussing areas that maybe you shouldn't tackle because it could be dangerous or you might mess it up and end up spending more money. Does electrical work ever fall into that category? I know that's one thing that I would be afraid to mess with at my house just for fear I'd burn the place down. Peter, do you have thoughts on that?
I don't speak of plumbing and electrical because I'm not a licensed electrician or plumber.
Okay.
I defer to experts.
Yeah. Lewis, do you have thoughts about that?
Would agree. We also install solar, so we do have folks that can do it, but I defer to what Peter said as well. trust the people that could get shocked or wet instead of doing it yourself.
Well, Danny, it sounds like you teach some of that stuff though. I mean, should people be afraid of electrical stuff? Is a healthy fear what they should bring to that kind of work?
Yes, definitely a healthy respect and fear for electrical. I personally teach the power tool and wood shop classes, so I also am not an electrical expert. However, feel free to take our 101 class. And I think a good rule of thumb is if you don't feel good about it, leave it to a professional.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I'll do with electrical stuff for sure. Peter, the Covington Academy of Heritage Trades offers training. I think you've got historic masonry, stained glass, window repair, historic carpentry. How difficult is it locally to find people who can do work like that on old homes, historic homes? There are so many homes like that in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Is it tough to find people who know what they're doing along those lines?
Yes, it is. But I think the Covington Academy of Heritage Trades covers a full realm because it's with the Enzweiler Building Institute. So they also have programs that offer electrical, plumbing, and so the scope and scale of a project can be tackled. The specification with the Covington Academy of Heritage Trades is that when we teach, we're teaching specific tasks for the old home, and that could be anything from replastering. Carpentry could be finished carpentry, or it could be rafters,
box trusses, gutters, something
right,
like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's all covered under the realm.
And are those classes that homeowners can take, or are they more for professionals who want to get certified?
The Covington Academy was, we're starting to open a school, and it would be a 2-year trade school. And that would be in the realm of all of that covering. Now, homeowners can take courses that will be offered and will continue to be offered in plastering and masonry. If they want to fix a plaster crack, they can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they want to learn how to repair some floors, they can. So.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, Lewis, a lot of people might be thinking about taking advantage of these clean energy tax credits before they expire. We were talking about this on the show a few weeks ago. How much money do people save on average by making their homes more energy efficient? Is there a range that you run into?
So a house is a system, Right. So there are multiple levels. There are multiple nooks and crannies. Any little bit helps, but working in a system is going to bring you the most benefit. So if you're looking in the basement and the main levels, the doors, the windows, the attic, the crawl spaces, and you do all of that together, you're going to get the most impact. I mean, we've just from testing that we've done on houses before and after have seen 50-60% easily on air leakage just from the work that we've done just immediately.
Wow.
But even something that's a more low hanging fruit, like insulating your attic or air sealing in the basement, things like that can bring 20-30% at a very low cost, especially when you have the tax credits that should be taken advantage of this year, like you said.
Okay. We got an email from Jim who writes, as a DIYer with a fair amount of electrical expertise, I'd like to warn your listeners that at least half of the electrical videos I've seen on YouTube are seriously off base. Better to attend a class like the ones your guests have mentioned. Yeah, that sounds like good advice from Jim. We don't need to anybody get shocked while they're trying to fix a lamp or something. So, Danny, is there anything else that... you advise people not to try to do themselves in terms of, we talked about how electrical work can be scary without some training. Anything else that you think, don't try that without getting some instruction?
I think it really kind of depends on your personal level of comfort and maybe jumping into new tasks. But I know power tools can seem really intimidating to a lot. And if you're not feeling comfortable, like I said, refer to a professional. So, you know, take a class, et cetera. Especially saws. I mean, I think everything should be treated with a healthy level of respect. And safety is definitely something I really am passionate about whenever I teach, and making sure everybody understands the tool and how it functions. I think that's an important part that people miss. You know, how does this tool move? What's going to happen when I'm done cutting the piece? Where does it go? It's not always... while you're using the tool, it's afterwards, or sometimes even your work setup that can be dangerous. So I think it's just important to have kind of a level-headed approach to any project. Do I know how to use this tool? Do I understand my materials? Do I have a good, safe working environment as well?
That makes sense. We have a caller. Hey, Eric, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
My question is about roofing, and I have a shed attached to the house, and it has a metal roof on it. It's corrugated. It's about three squares, about 300 square feet. And I wondered if you could put, or if one could put a new metal roof on top of a old metal roof, and how difficult that would be with the corrugations in it.
Peter, do you have thoughts on that?
I would call a roofing company, you know, okay. Again, deferring to an expert.
That's not something you'd try to do yourself?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? Lewis, any other thoughts from anybody else?
Yeah. Nothing on roofing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I will say, Eric, that my husband and I had a metal roof on part of our house, and we didn't try to do it ourselves. So there might be a way, but
yeah,
there
just
are.
Just personally, I wouldn't do it myself. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck, Eric. I hope you get the help that you need. Appreciate your listening and appreciate your call. Lewis, we were talking about the energy tax credits that are available, some of them just for a few months longer. Are there easier projects that people can do themselves to reduce energy consumption and save money and maybe take advantage of these tax credits? But even if they don't fall under that tax credit category, what's kind of the low-hanging fruit there?
Well, like I mentioned, typically the biggest impact for the lowest investment is something like insulating your attic. If you just want to go even simpler, one trip to Lowe's and buy, you know, a basket full of things, spend about $50. You can do anything from, you can air seal your ductwork. Just go to Lowe's, get a little, or any hardware store, independent preferably, get a little bucket of mastic and watch a couple YouTube videos, seal your ductwork. Switch to LEDs, obviously. Your can lights are going to be a big problem, especially in older homes. Can lights are going to be a lot of air, a lot of heat being lost and gained in the summer and winter. Retrofitting those with an airtight LED kit that actually it's not electrical work. It's just unscrewing a light bulb and screwing that in.
You can
do that. Absolutely. Yep. No electrical expertise required.
Okay. Danny, if people want to start small, like if they're a little nervous, but they want to make their house look better, they want to do it themselves, what's a small project that you can tackle? I'm wondering, like, maybe repairing some drywall, doing some painting. Is that a starting point, or what's a good starting point?
I think, yeah, definitely drywall, painting, even some smaller aesthetic changes. Maybe you've got an old table and you want to sand down the top and give it a fresh coat of stain or a seal or something. I think there's a lot of fun ways you can refresh, especially furniture, things you can take outside and safely sort of sand and repaint are always fun, especially since it's warmer out now. I would say just look around and get inspired. And there's, I think there's a lot of fun projects you don't really need any experience to do.
Yeah. What about the old hole in the wall? Peter, is anybody capable of spackling, patching that up and making it look better?
Absolutely. At the Covington Academy of Heritage Trades, hundreds of people know how to repair their plaster walls and ceilings and through going through the program. Yeah. So that's absolutely something people can learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How hard is it?
Well, it's a professional trade that's over, you know, 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
So it does take coursework.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But it's doable.
Yes, definitely. Hundreds of people have learned how to do it.
Okay. So, Lewis, what can an energy audit do to help you identify improvements for energy efficiency in your home that you might not be able to identify yourself? It seems like there are a lot of invisible problems in homes.
There are. So an energy auditor, preferably certified through an organization like BPI, Building Performance Institute, is going to be able to look, especially use kind of a bag of tricks. Somebody called it my Mary Poppins bag once. I pull it right out, depending on what area of the house it is. Infrared cameras, moisture meters, hygrometers, anything that's going to be able to look at the things that you can't see. Also, just kind of knowing the systems that I was talking about for the different types of homes in Cincinnati is going to treat a home individually instead of every building like itself. I mean, in Cincinnati, we have tons of brand new homes that we have homes from the mid 1800s. So being able to look at them individually and coming up with a prescription of how not to only treat that home, but kind of like what me and Peter were talking about before here, treat that home well to honor how it was built initially. So you're not setting yourself up for future disaster. So it's able to just kind of go a step further than just the, oh, I can do this one thing that'll help or this one thing. It's actually looking at that house as a whole system and seeing what can be done a little more scientifically, I guess.
Yeah. Is an older house automatically less energy efficient than a newer one?
Typically, yes. If you're talking about a home that's 100 plus years old, it might not have been built with forced air or traditional furnace heat or ventilation or insulation, any of that in mind, right? They were made to be drafty. You had multiple fireplaces. You had different ways of staying warm, right? And not to mention our heat and cold tolerances were a little different than they are now. So yes, they are typically more inefficient than a new home would be because they weren't built to be efficient. So looking at a house now to make it more efficient while also making sure it's ventilated properly, making sure that the air is flowing in the directions that it needs to, so you're not, again, setting yourself up for future problems. Yeah. Yes.
We got an email from Eddie. Eddie writes, I have some old gutters that need to be rehung. I'd like to hire a local person to do this. What type of handy person would you recommend? Dana, do you have thoughts about that? Are there particular people who are best suited for that kind of thing?
Unfortunately, outdoor work is not quite my realm of expertise,
gotcha.
So maybe pass this one on.
Peter, you have thoughts?
There are companies in the city that specialize in box gutters and gutter hanging.
Okay.
And, I've got references and resources, but I don't know how far to go or how much to reference them.
Fair enough.
So there are plenty of people can rehang box gutters, rebuild box gutters.
Okay.
It is an art.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're running out of time, but Danny, what are some of the basic tools everybody should own if they want to get into DIY? If you had a small budget and you want to go to your hardware store and pick up a few things, what should you have?
I think everybody needs a drill. It's just important. If you want to hang a picture on your wall, you're going to want a drill that make a nice clean hole, especially if you need to put an anchor in. You're going to want to make a really wide hole, a big anchor in. Another important tool I personally feel like is a miter saw. It's for cutting, you know, 2x4s and sort of sticks of wood, not necessarily big sheets of plywood. But then again, most of us don't have pickup trucks to even get a sheet of plywood home.
Yeah.
but miter saws are great. If you've got a drill and a miter saw, you can build a step stool. You can build a little kid's table. You can fix some things in your closet that maybe not, that won't be beautiful, but they don't have to be because it just needs to work.
Because it's in your closet. Nobody's looking in your, people are looking in your closet. You need different friends, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been lots of fun. I've been talking with Do-It-Yourself Darlin' instructor Danny Fraley, Covington Academy of Heritage Trades instructor and contractor Peter Grady, and Sustainergy Director of Sales and Marketing Lewis Connell. Thank you all so much for your time today and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.